We're such a friendly congregation. You couldn't stop saying hello to each other. I love it. Thank you for... I have something I was going to start with, but as we get the bridge of that song, to the broken, I've witnessed it. To the hurting, I've witnessed it. To the lost, I've witnessed it. And I'll tell them this. I'll tell them what I've witnessed. Well, what have we witnessed? We've witnessed the power of our risen Savior transforming lives, right? We've experienced, like Dominique, thank you for leading us in such a way. The Lord has transformed our lives, hasn't He? And when we witness that and experience it, this fits perfectly into the message. Shouldn't we want to tell others? How many of your friends or neighbors or coworkers or people you run into haphazardly throughout the day are seeking and lost and hurting, but you've witnessed the power of the risen Savior and you have it? Shouldn't we just want to hand it off and tell them? Church, that's our mission. That's who we are. That's the mission given by Jesus to us, to go into all the world, to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's our mission. When we've witnessed the beautiful power of our risen Savior, it is incumbent upon us to tell the world. That's why I get excited. You know, I'm wearing this t-shirt, and some of you have been judging me already, saying, why is he wearing a t-shirt? I know it. I've already got a couple texts, I get it. You can pipe down. Our outreach department, there's a trip going to Zambia later in July, towards the end of July, or begin in July, and they're selling these t-shirts to raise money for their trip. So it's with a purpose. It's Acts 1:8 across the front, and then to the ends of the earth on the back. And it's an opportunity for you to support our mission team, but then also to say, I'm going to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So if you want to buy a t-shirt, the physical shirts have sold out already. The first service was, they just bought them all. But you can buy one online and it'll drop ship to you in the next however long that takes. But if you're interested, please do that. They're also selling cookies and other things. Support our team going to Zambia as they do what we're going to talk about this morning. So as we've been in this series called Road Trip, where we've been talking about sanctification, and sanctification is really a large word that simply means, as we've talked about what it means to be holy and set apart. Whereas followers of Jesus, we're holy and set apart, and actually we don't look like the world. That Jesus is so alive in our hearts and our minds and all of who we are that we just look different. Have you ever ran into that person, that Christian, who just looks different than everybody else because they're so alive with Jesus? That's what we're all called to be, and that's why we've done this series, so we can paint a picture of what it looks like to be totally sold out for our risen Savior. If you've seen Him do a work in your life, He should be the first thing on your lips every day as you tell other people. We've used the analogy of a road trip as we've been on this journey to sanctification because it is a journey. As you start off when you first meet the Lord and you're through justification, when you first understand who Jesus is, and then it's a journey as you get to the point to holiness, complete holiness, where hopefully you no longer sin. Now, some people have looked at me over time and said, it is impossible to get to the place where I no longer sin. And my answer to them, well, your faith isn't very strong, is it? Because if we believe that Jesus died, and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins, He didn't forgive some of our sins. He didn't hope that we were sort of good. His whole message and journey was so that we could become more like Him and live in this world not encumbered by the weight of our sin and shame. That's the journey we're on as followers of Jesus. That's the road trip that we are engaged in. And today is our last stop on the journey. And I want to encourage you that you have a story that inspires others to take a similar journey. When you go on a road trip, and I've said this a time or two, my family, we don't road trip well. In fact, we hate each other when we get to wherever we're going. It's really uncanny. And then it takes the whole trip to find out we do like each other. But some of you love road trips. You've gone around the country, you've done different things, and God bless you. That's incredible. But any of us, when we get back from a road trip, we get back to our friends and family, and we want to tell them of the things we've seen and experienced, to tell them and share of our adventures and the ways, the things we saw, the places we went. And I'm willing to bet that when you get home from just about any trip, if somebody's willing, you're ready to share. And if that is true with our road trips, maybe we take with our families or by ourselves, shouldn't it be the same with our road trip of faith as we're on a journey, that we should just be oozing, ready to tell others what we've experienced in Jesus? Today we're going to talk about two forms of holiness, personal and social holiness. Both of these forms of holiness are important on our journey as we become more like Jesus, and I will explain why. For the first part of this message, we're going to focus on Mark 12, verses 29 through 31. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If you have your Bible app, as many of you do, you can open it up, or as always, it will be on the screens up in the behind me. But as Jesus was about to speak these words, he's being questioned by a religious leader about what is the greatest commandment, what is the greatest thing that God wants us to do. Jesus, if you are truly who you say you are, what is the greatest thing that we can do as humans? And Jesus answered, is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then he gives these instructions that I think we try to shirk off. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second commandment is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Jesus is setting a very high bar. What is the greatest thing we as followers of Jesus, followers of God can do? And Jesus says, this is what you need to do. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There is nothing greater. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is painting a picture, essentially, of what it means to be sanctified. He's saying that as you display the fruit of your spirit in your life, which we spoke about last week, and as you shed all the sinful desires of the world, which also we spoke about next week, you will come to this place where you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that, when you get there, that is the place I desire for all people to be. That is the greatest commandment, not the greatest suggestion, not the greatest thing I think you ought to do. It is the greatest commandment that we be like God in those four ways and that we love God. Now, Jesus says, as you love God, the first way you love him is with all of your heart. Now, when I say love God with all of your heart, this is what I mean with all your passions, desires, motives, and intentions. That everything about you, everything you desire, your greatest passion, the thing you value most about everything else is God. Now, I know enough to know that that is incredibly challenging. And some of you, as even I say that right now, you're like, you don't understand what you're asking. You want me to love God above my wife and children? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You want me to love God more than my parents and the people in my life who are so dear to me? That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Pastor, you should love God more than you love the church? 100%. Our greatest passion as followers of Jesus, that we should love God with all of our heart, everything inside us. Our heart's desires should get to the place where they match God's desires in the world. And the only way to do that is to constantly be in that place of saying, God, I desire you above everything else. And as you're in that place with God, his desires will become yours and you will live differently. Now, I know some people in my life a number of them, I should say, who love God with all of their heart, and they value him and Jesus above everything else. They are just different people. Do you know what I mean? But as we love God, that is the first step in the journey, is to love him with all of your heart, that he becomes your greatest passion and desire. The second is to love him with all of our soul. All of our soul. Well, what does that mean, to love him with all of our soul? Let me break it down very simply. It is, what do you worship above God? If the soul is the spiritual part of who we are, and we're supposed to worship or love God with all of our spiritual selves, what are you worshiping? Do you worship the idea of your job and what you get to do at work, 9 to 5, or whenever you work? Is that what you worship? Let me tell you, if you worship your employment, you're going to be miserable. If you worship your spouse or your children, which is a noble, it's noble to think that, but if you worship them, your heart at some point will be broken. If you worship them above God, what do you worship? What does your soul focus on? And I think that's a truly important question. We've talked a lot about this actually around here over time. What do you value more than God? What do you place in that spot in your life that is greater than him and you put your attention to? Around here in football season, we worship a football team. I don't think that's a good thing. How does that go for you? We worship many things, but I know they will always leave a void in our heart unless our worship is directed to God and God alone. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. So when you consider your soul and what you focus your attention on, never worship anything before God, because it will leave you empty. And then he says to love the Lord your God with your minds, what goes on between your ears, the thoughts that you have. And let's just be honest, sometimes our thoughts wander from God, don't they? Sometimes we get thinking about things we should have no business thinking about, and we get into such a place where the evil and darkness of our world, the lies and maybe even lustful thoughts creep into our minds, and we start worshiping those thoughts, and we start to have those places in our minds that are just dark. And if I was going to be real, guys, oftentimes, especially men's minds, worship lustful thoughts. They're there, and we don't know how to get rid of them. And the lie that we are believing is that if I have those thoughts, as long as I don't act on them, I'm fine. That's not at all the case. Jesus one time told those closest to him, "Have you heard what it is said? What was said? You shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." We're to worship the Lord with our minds. We are to love God with all of our minds. And as we do, we are to find freedom from those lustful thoughts, from those greedy thoughts, from the thoughts that are contrary to the ways of the Lord in his plan for your life. We can fill our minds with doubt, fear, and anger if we allow those thoughts to creep into our space. Over the last 5 weeks, I began a new practice, which is spiritual practice in my morning time, and sometimes it's the evening. But what I've started to do, in addition, is I've started to set the timer on my phone for 15 minutes. And during that 15 minutes, I know this sounds awfully formulaic, but it's really been incredible. I set it down somewhere, and then I just sit silently, and I say to myself, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." You know what I found in that time when I'm totally silent, with trying to slow down from the pace of the world and to focus my heart and my attention on God, is that when I do that, I feel and experience his presence in ways I don't any other way in my life. for the last 5 weeks as I've been doing this, I've been journaling every day. I missed a few days here and there, but I've been journaling how it's been going. And you know what I found? I thought I was going to start listening to God and he was going to tell me all these things I should be doing. And there has been some, but the greatest benefit is slowing down and clearing my mind and filling it with God and him filling me with his presence. It's been beautiful. Trying to empty my mind of every thought. And some of you are saying, you don't know what goes on in my mind. It's hard to slow it down. Yeah, it really is. But you know what else I found when I started this practice? 15 minutes might as well have been 6 hours. But now as I do it, 15 minutes is not enough. And I crave more of that time in his presence as I clear my mind and focus my attention on him. So what is filling your mind? What is the last show that you've binged? Is that the show and the things that are filling your mind on a regular basis? What music are you currently listening to? Now I love music. Are you letting music change your attitude? What have you read lately? What books or articles or websites? What have you read? Are they filling you and building you up as a follower of Jesus? What's the last movie you watched? Or what's the last news show that you took in? And let's ask the question, are they inspiring you to live and to have your mind in a positive way, or are they tearing you down? Were the things you've ingested through media pleasing to God or not? As you try to love the Lord your God with all your mind, the things you take in will influence your thoughts, your patterns, and even your speech. And as you take in pure and holy and righteous things, you will be a different person. So love the Lord your God with all of your mind. And lastly, Jesus said to love him with all of your strength, to love him with your bodies, your physical body. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you, so take care of your body." Love the Lord your God with all your body, with all of who you are. Build into your body. Eat properly. Use your body to serve other people, not to serve yourself. What you do with your body matters. And you're in a body right now, and all of our bodies are deteriorating, whether you feel it or not. It's the sad reality of life. And one day, you will have a resurrection body that will never fade, that will never deteriorate, and that will go on with you into eternity. But the body you have now, love the Lord your God with all of your body. So it's clear that as Jesus said that, he wants us to love him with all of our being, with everything in us, with all we've created us to be. This is an incredible example of personal holiness or sanctification. If you do all of those things, you will begin to look and act and be more like Jesus. You just will. But you know the trap that so many Christians fall into? We try to do those things and then we shut ourselves off from the world. We live in a Christian bubble because we don't want the sins of the world to influence who I am. And they shouldn't, but we get to this place where we read and we grow and we take in all this information because we want to be holy and set apart, but then we hold it onto ourselves and never let it out to the rest of the world. It's this idea where I understand who God wants me to be as far as loving him with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But at that point, I seal myself off from every other influence of the world, and you don't want to engage. There's this story, this old story of this Syrian monk. His name was Simon. And let me read a bit of it. Simon was a monk who sought holiness and solitude in the Syrian desert, miles away from civilization. The world was corrupt, he reasoned, and if he remained in contact with the world, it would corrupt him. So you know what Simon did? He built a tower He built a dwelling in the middle of the Syrian desert where he would live, and he would keep building it and building, and if people came to see him and learn from him, he would shut them out and just hide in this tower because he didn't want anything to do with the outside world. He was walking with Jesus, and he had this holy life, and he was loving God in that way, but he never shared it with a soul. Now, is that what our faith is all about? That we try to get as holy as possible, as righteous as possible, and then we start sealing ourselves off from the world so we're not influenced by the influence of the world. Is that what it's all about? Because if that's it, that sounds awful. But so many people fall into that trap, and they miss the second half of Mark 12, where we are to love others with all of who we are. Yes, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, but then we need to love other people. Why do we do that? So that they can know who your Savior is. So they can know who you believe in and who you follow, and then they can begin to understand the beauty of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. But if we never tell them, how are they ever going to know? And some of you, even as I say that, you're thinking, that's hard work. It is. But learning to be like Jesus is meaningless if you don't become like Jesus. Learning about Jesus and taking in all kinds of knowledge is useless if it doesn't transform you and allow you to be more like Jesus. So how are you doing at being like Jesus in your world? Do people know that you're a follower of Jesus, or does your behavior not look any different than the people around you? That's a tough question. That's one that I hope you wrestle with, that even as you're going through your afternoon and into the evening, you're pondering, how am I different than the person you're going to see tomorrow at work or wherever, school or wherever you go, the school's winding down. How are you different than other people because of your relationship with Jesus? And then as you realize you're different, you have an opportunity to share your faith with people who so desperately need to hear it. Love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love others. The early church and the first followers that were closest to Jesus' time period had this down pat. They really understood what it meant to love each other in their fellowship, and as in essence, then, to love the whole world. And it's not going to be on the screens because I added this late, but Acts 4, 32 through 35. All the believers early in the time after Jesus ascended to heaven, all the believers were in one heart and one mind, all of them. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. They loved each other that well that nobody had needs, that nobody was needy. They all had needs. For from time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them, brought the money to the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. They experienced Jesus, and it transformed their lives, and they couldn't help but love others extravagantly. That's the model. That's the picture of the early church loving and caring for each other in such a meaningful way. And I dare to say that should be the model of who we are as a church. That when you're here on a Sunday or throughout the week and you hear a need, you might not call the church office to help meet the need, but you might do it yourself. You might step into that place of serving in such incredible ways that people are just stunned. I heard a story this morning, and I'm not using names or anything, of a young man who saw a need. So he sold some of his possessions, raised a sizable chunk of cash, $25,000, and he handed it all over. He didn't keep any of it for himself. He saw a need. He saw some way that he could serve with the blessings and the provisions that he had. He sold something and gave it to somebody who was in need. That's a picture of the church. That we don't hold on to our stuff for ourselves, but we hold it loosely with hands that are wide open. And when the Lord says, you need to do this, what do? You do it. You bless other people. You meet them in their need. You help meet the need that is right in front of them. And as you do, they are blessed. But let me tell you, as you bless others, you feel the presence of God in a way that maybe you haven't ever in your life. But as you love God and love others, that's what it looks like. Around here at Revive, there are many opportunities to serve and to engage and to love people at our church on this campus. From greeters to kids ministry to youth ministry to hospitality, there are lots of ways for you to engage. If you're sitting here now and you say, all right, so the Acts Church, they sold everything, they gave it to those in need, they did all that, but how do I do something like that here? How do I engage in the life of Revive in a meaningful way where I can serve the body and then hopefully serve the community outside the walls of this church? Well, if you're asking that, I'm glad you asked. You can text the word serve to our church phone number and a little form will pop up, and then you can fill out some information and how you might be interested in serving here on our campus or on our campuses. If you notice, there's bags of mulch around a bunch of trees outside. Mulch doesn't spread itself. And there's many other things around here that as a body of believers that we should be doing. But if you're interested in serving and partaking in that way, text that word to that number, and then we will get to you probably tomorrow or the next day. Now, I tried that yesterday. I did it, and it popped up on my phone, and we'll see who contacts me. I put snake handling as the thing I want to serve in. We don't do that here. But I'll see if anybody responds to me. It's sort of a test, an internal test. But if you do it, don't give something crazy like that. Actually give a way that you would maybe like to serve. And as you serve inside the walls of the church, it prepares you to serve out in the community and beyond. As you serve here on a Sunday or throughout the week, it builds something in you when you get this hunger to serve more and more, to be more like the early church and to be engaged in the life of others, that you will get to the place where, yes, I serve here, but I also want to serve out there in many different capacities. And our partner ministry, 8 Days of Hope, has an opportunity coming up in the summer that you might want to engage in, and I would encourage you to do so if you've never before. So at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says these words, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age." If you hold your faith to yourself and you try to get as holy as possible, you will never be able to do what Jesus told us we need to be doing. But it's when you understand that God created you to be your spiritual being and you're to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you take that seriously and it becomes part of who you are, then when you see that, then you are able to love others and to help them to be baptized. What is that saying? You're willing to share your faith to people who so desperately need to know. This is my heart for us as a church. I want us to be a church, individuals who are so in love with Jesus and we're so into following him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength that we are compelled to share our faith in many different ways with others in our world. We're compelled to serve and engage in the needs of others because we love God so much. that we come here on Sundays not just to receive and to sing a couple songs and hear a mess, but that it encourages us to live differently the rest of the week, to engage in the lives of other people. And you know this to be true. People are lonely, they're hurt. There's people who are waiting for you to come to them and just ask them out to go out for coffee or something. Ask them to your backyard and just hang out for a couple hours. As we live out our faith and it becomes real to us, that's a natural expression of how we love the world. And as we become more like Jesus, who hung out with tax collectors and prostitutes, as he hung out with fishermen and others who were far from God, he displayed what it looked like to love lost and hurting people. And if it was good enough for Jesus, it should be good enough for us. There's a seat open next to you. What would it look like if your neighbor was sitting there in the next 3 to 6 months? Because you love them in such a way that they couldn't deny that your Savior was real. Jesus calls us to pick up our cross, to die to ourselves and follow him. It's counterintuitive, it's countercultural, it's not what the world does. The world is all about themselves, it's all about me and gaining everything I can. That is not the way of our Savior. He didn't come here to establish a kingdom and to smite the Roman Empire and to lay it to ruins. He came to love everybody who crossed his path, and then he died on a cross, and we are to die to ourselves, our wants, our desires every day, so that we can do the same. We are commanded to love God and love others. The greatest commandment. As we're on this journey to sanctification, I think we need to understand we are called to love God and love others. So how are you doing? How are you doing? Each week when we gather here, we're starting a series on Joshua next week. Each week when we gather here, we're going to continue to learn and grow together so that you can be transformed and live differently in this world. If you're stuck in the middle of the road on the way to sanctification, if you don't know what's next, my encouragement would be to begin that prayer practice that I mentioned before, where you silence your heart and your mind and you say, Lord, you repeat to yourself, be still and know that I am God. And as you spend time in that place, he will reveal himself to you. I'm speaking from experience. And as he does, I'm willing to bet he'll show you what's next. So, Father, we thank you for this series. We thank you for this journey towards sanctification. Father, I pray that you would help us to shed all things from our lives that are contrary to you in your will, that you would help the things we take into our minds to be edifying and uplifting and not things that destroy us and help us to think poor or evil thoughts. Father, I pray that you would set us apart as a congregation. We would be holy and pleasing unto you, ready to take on the challenges of the world and not to shrink back from them, but to take them on head on as we live boldly for you everywhere we go. Lord, our faith is not a weak, passive faith, but it's a strong, active faith where we are engaged in the world, helping to make it a better place because of your work, your power, your love coming out through us everywhere we go. Help us to remember that. When we're in a difficult situation, Lord, you have put us there for a reason, to offer hope to hurting people. Don't let us forget it. Help us to stand boldly on the truth we know to be true and to minister to those in our path as you have ministered and loved us. Help us to do the same to the world. We love you, we thank you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to conclude with one more song. This has become one of my favorite songs as we speak the name of Jesus in any situation, any circumstance you find yourself in. So as we sing this last song, sing it like you mean it. Sing out to our God. Why don't you stand as we sing this together?